This is Worldviews. I'm Brian Hardzinski, filling in again this week for Suzette Grelot. She's wrapping up a three-week trip to Italy, and she'll be back in the studio next week. We are joined again, however, by our regular panelist, Rebecca Cruz. Rebecca, I want to focus on Africa this week, and I'd like to start with an international angle on the story that's dominated the news cycle for the past week, and that's the shooting in Charleston. We've watched the conversation shift toward a debate on the Confederate flag and Southern symbols from the American Civil War that are now largely associated with racism. The man accused of carrying out this shooting, Dylan Roof, reportedly had well-documented racist beliefs, and the Confederate flag was certainly featured prominently among online photos of him. But he was also seen wearing a patch with the flags of apartheid-era South Africa as well as Rhodesia. Give me a little bit of background here. Where exactly was this country and what's its history?
Well, if we think about actually both South Africa and Rhodesia, we should be familiar with South Africa, know that it's at the bottom of Africa and go a little bit north to the country now of Zimbabwe, which was previously Rhodesia. Both of these countries have somewhat similar pasts, so it's not a mistake or a coincidence that this young man has used them as symbols or is using their flags. Both countries came from their colonial rulers, declared independence. And then you had the white minorities in both of these countries, small minorities, very, very small percentages.
Less than 5%, right?
Very, very small. And in Rhodesia, significantly smaller than in South Africa. So you see a period of time where both of these populations in these two countries, either through legislation, through civil war, through other means, or a mix of those, are trying to solidify their role in these countries, to have a white government and to oust any influence by the black populations in both of the countries. So South Africa, again, we're very familiar with. We're familiar with the idea of apartheid. Nelson Mandela, who passed away here last year, we're familiar with his struggle and what happened there with the institutionalization of segregation and keeping blacks out of office in certain areas, keeping them from advancing in any way. Well, in Rhodesia, which is, again, just to the north of them, this a very similar pattern took place. Now, the independence was declared a little bit later. It was in the 1960s. And you do see the civil war that erupts. And again, a white leader comes out of that civil war for a period of time and implements a very, very heavy-handed ruling power on the black people in the country.
And what happened to Rhodesia?
Well, after a period of civil war in the 1970s and into the 1980s, we see that continue. And eventually, a gentleman named Robert Mugabe takes over. And eventually, again, this is declared as Zimbabwe. Now, Mugabe has been the leader of Zimbabwe since the early 1980s. He is currently still the leader. And this is an interesting thing because in the early years of Zimbabwe in the 1980s, this was seen as a very big success story. Mugabe was seen as very popular to the outside world, to the international community. Zimbabwe was kind of considered the breadbasket of Africa. And very positive things coming out of his rule. But in the last 10 years or so, the country has significantly faltered. Superinflation, corruption, political corruption, and all sorts of other issues that have caused a number of problems. And this is why this young man in Charleston is making this reference to both countries. Because he can say, particularly if we look at the current situation in Zimbabwe today, that under white rule, things were better. When they kept the black people out, things worked better. And once the blacks took over, then this has led to bad government and those sorts of things. This is obviously a falsehood. There's much more to the story than this. But that's what he's claiming, this kind of the glory days of white supremacy in these two countries.
And there was a website that was reportedly registered under Dylan Roof's name that he called the Last Rhodesian. What is it about this country's history that resonates so strongly with white supremacists? There's kind of a similar lost cause myth that is kind of a parallel to the Confederate States of America. What is it that these people embrace?
Well, think about when all of this is happening. It's the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. If you look at both South Africa and Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, again, this is happening at the same time that the civil rights movement is going on in this country. And you start to see, again, a rise of white supremacism. You know, the Ku Klux Klan becomes powerful again, and we start seeing a lot of action. So they look at Africa, see these what they would claim are successful white states, and can use those as an example. Maybe it's a lost cause, but I would argue that it's more of a glory days, how things could have been and should be. Again, a myth.
And there's kind of an interesting parallel here because, as you mentioned, what was once Rhodesia is now the modern state of Zimbabwe. That country's leader, Robert Mugabe, he's 91 years old. He's been in power since 1980. He's openly compared himself to Adolf Hitler in public speeches. Why would an African leader who helped overthrow this white minority-ruled state of Rhodesia, and he even sports a toothbrush-thin mustache, how is he viewed by his people and other African leaders?
Yeah, it's an odd comparison, and I don't claim to understand exactly what he's trying to get across there, perhaps other than the fact that he does seem to have complete rule. In the elections in 2008, as the country was dealing with this superinflation, hyperinflation, there were situations of large-scale political corruption that he was implied in, and we saw attacks against his opponents, physical attacks that was never proven that he was involved, but there is a lot of speculation that he was, and yet he continues to be in power. Now, at 91, we can assume that this is not going to be a situation for very long, and that will be the really interesting question. What happens to Zimbabwe once Mugabe is gone? Also interesting, while there are many people in his country that do support him and some that don't, African countries seem to be supporting him as well, and he just recently was elected as leader of the African Union.
That's Rebecca Cruz. She's the assistant dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. It's been nice to come out from the control room while Suzette's been in Italy. She'll be back next week. Rebecca, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we've linked to a few articles about this topic in the Worldview section of KGOU.org, where you'll also find analysis of the issues, interview transcripts, and audio from this and all of our past episodes. You can also let us know your views on the topics by leaving a comment on the Worldviews page or by sending us a tweet at WorldviewsKGOU. Coming up, Rebecca is joined by ESPN founder Bill Rasmussen to discuss the ways in which people connect through sports and the expansion of a global sports network. I'm Brian Hardzinski, and you're listening to Worldviews.